Ace is the place with the helpful hardware, folks.
It's Ace's biggest LED light bulb sale of the year. Right now, buy one, get one free on our best-selling LED light bulbs. Our 4-pack of LED bulbs is $9.99, and our 2-pack of LED floodlights is only $12.99. Buy one, get one free. There's no limit on how much you can save, so stock up now. Hurry in. Buy one, get one free on long-lasting 10-year LED bulbs, now through Monday, only at your neighborhood Ace. See participating stores for details.
You are Locked On 76ers, your daily podcast on the Philadelphia 76ers, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome to Locked On 76ers. I'm your host, Keith Pompey. Happy Tuesday to you. I'm here with my man, Mike Silski. Mike's been slacking. Today's his first day back from vacation. I'm a little jealous, to be honest with you. But
where were you? I could have used your help moving me into my new house.
Hey, man. Hey, believe me. I was here checking out some athletes playing ball. But, hey, Mike, I want to thank you for joining the show.
You got it, my friend.
I want to ask you, yesterday, Monday, Brian Colangelo talked to us about the reason why the Sixers went up to get Markel Fultz. In yesterday's podcast, I thought it was a good deal for them to do it. But what's your impressions of the whole trade?
Well, I think it was one of those situations where you have a player who is a prospective number one pick in Fultz, who actually fits as a stylist, from a style standpoint, fits what the Sixers need right now. And based on what Colangelo said Monday, that was the impetus for them moving up to make this deal. It wasn't simply a matter of, hey, the best player in the draft is a big man, the best player in the draft is a 5'10 point guard. It was the best player in the draft is a 6'5 point guard who can shoot, is one of the better outside shooters in the top 10 or 15 prospective picks in the draft, and that's the kind of player we need. We don't necessarily need a De'Aaron Fox, even though I know you like him and I like him, and I'm sure the Sixers like him too, because why take the risk that he's not going to develop an outside shot? Are we going to take a Malik Monk at number 3, who can shoot but may not be able to do much of anything else? Are we going to take a Josh Jackson? Same kind of thing. Terrific wing defender, but is he going to be able to shoot? Fultz and his profile presented the Sixers with more options for things to go right, for him to fit. And not only that, despite Colangelo's attempts to kind of dodge the question of who they're going to take, he's the consensus and prospective number one pick. So for the Sixers, it made sense. You move up, you go get him, and this is why you have all those draft picks.
Yeah, that's the funny part, because you're talking about dodging questions. It was like Colangelo played a bad game of dodgeball.
Oh, yeah.
Everyone knows that it's going to be Fultz. I mean, Fultz is rocking the Sixers hat. He's putting photos of him in the Sixers hat on Instagram, so everyone knew it. My question to you is, when you have Markel Fultz, do you still continue with Ben Simmons as the point guard?
I never took the question of Ben Simmons as a point guard seriously. If only because you're going to have, even today's NBA, if you have a player 6'8", 6'9", 6'10", who's going to handle the ball, LeBron James in the best case scenario, you still need a point guard out there with him. LeBron still has Kyrie Irving. Russell Westbrook and Kevin Durant. Kevin Durant is not a point guard in any sense, but when they were together in Oklahoma City, Durant's a guy you'd want the ball in his hands. He's not always coming off of screens and shooting threes. He's going to create some stuff. Well, Russell Westbrook was that kind of player too, and they made it work for a pretty long time. So it never made sense to me, this idea of like, well, Ben Simmons is going to be the only one who handles the ball, and you just surround him with three other guys who can shoot and Joel Embiid. Like, Fultz is going to be – you needed somebody else to handle the ball part of the time too. And that's why I didn't have as much fear about potentially drafting De'Aaron Fox, assuming that Fultz and Lonzo Ball went 1-2. Mm-hmm. I would have been happy to see the Sixers draft, a pure point guard, if only for this reason too, Keith. Think about it this way. You can't, Fultz is the consensus number one pick, okay? Mm-hmm. And it so happens that his skill set would seem to fit with what Ben Simmons is going to be. But you couldn't draft a guy based solely on the idea that he might fit with Ben Simmons, because Ben Simmons hasn't played an NBA game yet. And not only that, you don't know if he's going to get hurt again. And even if he turns out to be terrific, you don't know what form that greatness is going to take. Is it going to be strictly as a facilitating four? What if he can't play the point guard in the NBA? Are you then going to have passed up on better players who also played point to go draft a Malik Monk or go draft a, you know, Josh Jackson? That was why I was kind of high on them taking De'Aaron Fox, was, okay, you don't know what's going to happen with Ben Simmons. Therefore, take the best guy available, regardless of position. And if that turns out to be Fox, so be it. Now you get the best of both worlds. Now the best player available is also a guy who presumably fits with Ben Simmons.
Yeah. And also you get to, like you said, you touched upon, you're listening to Brian Colangelo. It's one of those things where, I'm not saying he's backtracking a little bit, but to his defense, he wasn't the one who said he's a point guard.
Right.
But you get the sense that, you know, that, yeah, they may try it out, but midway through the season or the latter part of the season, we'll see Ben being the point forward. I mean,
yeah, that's just the way it's going to be. You can see what they're trying to do, I think, in that there aren't many players on the team right now. Yeah, they're really young, but there aren't many players on the roster right now who you look at and say, the ball stops with that guy. You know, that's why Jahlil Okafor is such a misfit both on this team and around the NBA, is that he has to have the ball in his hands in the post, and he ain't kicking it out again. The ball is going into him, and that's it. Look around the roster now. Simmons, presumably Fultz, Embiid, Šarić, Henderson, you know, TJ McConnell. None of these guys are just one-dimensional catch and shoot. You know, they may yet get that player, and he may thrive in this kind of situation, but they're all guys who want to move the ball, and that's key to this whole thing, I think.
Yeah, you're right. Now, you know, unfortunately, I shouldn't say unfortunately, but, you know, it's one of those things where I'm the beat writer for the Sixers, so I'm with the Sixers 100% of the time. You're a columnist, so you get to go out and you get to cover the Flyers, you get to cover the Eagles, the Phillies, college basketball. At this particular time, can you just talk about the buzz in the city overall about surrounding the Sixers?
It's so interesting to me. Like, there's a lot of buzz about the Sixers, even right now, because of the immediacy of the trade, more than there is about the Eagles. You know, and that's to be that's understandable. The Eagles are going to be away for a couple weeks before training camp begins. There's no reason really to think about them. But you have the Phillies not doing well, and people kind of skeptical of their rebuild because the season's been so lousy. Now you have the Flyers coming up with the number two pick in the draft on Friday, but hockey is much more of a niche sport, even in Philadelphia, compared to the NBA, the NFL, or Major League Baseball. And what's interesting about the Sixers now is that you have this sense among the Hinkieites that the process has won, you know, that Hinkie won, because now the Sixers have the number one pick. They got it because he had acquired so many assets and draft picks that allowed Brian Colangelo to make this move. So the whole, like, civil war and clash of thinking that's taken place in Philadelphia over the last few years about the process and whether it was right or whether some people thought it was a scam or something like that, now we're finally going to learn. You know, now that Fultz is coming in, now that presumably Embiid and Simmons are going to be healthy, is this going to work? It's too early now for the process people to be celebrating, but it looks better that they're going to have reason to celebrate.
Yeah, it looks better to have reason to celebrate. But also, when I think of it, you know, I'm thinking about pressure that's going to be on this kid. And I know there's three of them, but at the same time, and I thought it was a smart trade. I really do. But at the end of the day, when you trade up to get someone and you give up future picks, you know, that's an enormous amount of pressure on a kid. And, you know, I wish him a lot of luck. But, you know, and the thing is, with our fan base, it's like, yes, when everything is going well, everyone's going to be excited about it. But if he struggled, they're going to be like, oh, my God, we gave up picks for this guy?
Yeah.
You know, and then let's say if De'Aaron Fox becomes a superstar. Oh, we gave up picks for this guy, but look at De'Aaron Fox. You know, so, you know, that's my...
This is not without risk.
Yeah, this is not without risk. No.
I mean, I think you make a decision based on the knowledge you have at the time, and the knowledge, the consensus knowledge is that this kid's the best player in the draft. He's 6'5". He can shoot. He can handle the ball. He's an unselfish player. He fits with what they want to do and who they want to be. And, you know, the risk is, does he become the player that you hope he's going to become when you take him number one? there's less of a risk, I think, in that his style of play is a fit.
Yeah.
As opposed to waiting at number three to figure out whether a Fox or a Jackson or a Jason Tatum was going to fit, you know, was going to turn out to fit, given the deficiencies in some of their games.
Yeah, you're right. You're right. But hey, I really want to thank you for joining me today. You always, as always, you're always informative, and you make me funny. I mean, you make me laugh. You're funny. You make me laugh. Hey, Mike, man, I'm glad that you're back at work.
So am I. Thanks.
I can't wait to read you, read your columns. And, you know, everyone, like I keep telling y'all before, if you don't read Mike Silski, if you don't go to Philly.com and you don't pick up the Inquirer every day looking and praying and hoping that he's in there, you're doing something wrong.
You sound great, like my parents, man.
Hey, man, hey. Somebody in your family gave me some money to say that. Like, I'm only joking, but nah. He's a great writer and a even better reporter and an even nicer person. So, hey, read my man. But I want to say thank y'all. I want to thank y'all for listening to me today, and I'll talk to y'all later on this week. Peace.
You are Locked On 76ers, your daily Philadelphia 76ers podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team every day.